The following program is an MLWRadio.com production.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast. I am your host, Striga, and I am joined by El Cielo Azul Sangre Caliente Joven. Is that about the sky blue, hot-blooded young man?
Good effort.
Good effort. I just put the words together. I'm not good in Spanish grammar.
Yeah, exactly. You kind of move Joven, like, first.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But other than that, you are exactly right. I am the sky blue hot blooded young man. It's great to have you back, Striga.
Yeah, I'm glad to be back. You know, I've moved to a new place and I still haven't got my internet connection set up, so I'm just on mobile internet and it's hard to keep up with all the news in the world of professional wrestling with just your phone and nothing else, especially when it comes to Japanese wrestling, because translating with your phone isn't that easy. But, you know, this past week, I've been watching the entire 01 Fire Festival when I got home from work. I always looked forward to watching another show, and I watched all the shows from July 10 up until July 31st. There were some great matches, and we are about to talk about this tournament, as it really was one of my favorite tournaments this year because of all the great emotions put in this tournament, especially by one Shinjiro Otani, Dylan. Tweeted out this week that Shinjiro Otani is still one of the greatest guys in wrestling in 2016. And I remember in 2002 when I saw Masato Tanaka versus Shinjiro Otani. That was the match that got me into 01, and still in 2016, they had a great match in 01.
First of all, to a normal person, following all the news of ProRes on your phone is hard, but to you, you were a trooper, and I know that you've done great following these things, even better than me on the Fire Festival, actually, but to your point on Otani, I totally agree with you. I remember when I first came on this show, we talked about his tag match earlier in the year with Tanaka facing the Dongan Yankees.
Right.
And even then, he, to me, stood out as one of the greatest guys. I love his feud with the juniors that he had, trying to get them, basically saying all the juniors kind of suck now. and he wanted to return to, you know, build the division back to its former prominence. I think he worked as a heavyweight, but he, to me, like you said, what stood out to me throughout, whenever I see Otani wrestle, is his facial expression. He's on an entirely different level than many, many people, as we saw throughout the tournament, and particularly in his final match against Obata, which we'll get to briefly. But as you said, Otani was one of the best juniors in the world in his heyday, and it just shows, even now, when he became a heavyweight originally in 2002, a lot of people kind of maligned him, but I think in hindsight, we've come to realize that talk of that was kind of overrated, that he fell off after he became a heavyweight, because he's still a freaking awesome wrestler from 2002 to now. I remember a match of his in 2002 with Battle Arts' Yuki Ishikawa.
Oh, man.
That was just, that was a fight. Otani just does so many great things, so many little things. Well, he can match up against any type of opponent, too, is another thing I like him about him. You know, he can be the underdog, or he can deliver punishment if necessary, which is a great dynamic he has, in my opinion.
Right. To your point of junior heavyweights becoming heavyweights, I think the perfect example for a guy with whom it didn't really work was Wataru Inoue. In New Japan, when he was a great fiery junior heavyweight, but he was so almost boring as a heavyweight
because he, really bland,
because he just couldn't hang with all those great heavyweights in New Japan, at that point. And he just was too small for a Kojima or a Tenzan. And to Shinjiro Otani, he really transitioned very well to his heavyweight role in 01, in 2002. Had a great team with Masato Tanaka. They had a great run as the Right Emblem as the NWA Intercontinental Tag Team Champions, and then going on to be the successor to the late Shinya Hashimoto, now running the 01 office and keeping 01 alive. A few years ago, when they were on the verge of closing, they basically cut back, and now this year they had a great success for their first Korakuen Hall show this year, for their 15th anniversary in Korakuen Hall 2, and now they had a great final show in Korakuen Hall, also with a good audience. Looked like three quarters full on July 31st for the 01 Fire Festival finals. But before we get to that, I need to talk about Shinjiro Otani a little bit more, because you can go to the 01 YouTube page. Just go to YouTube and put in 01 all together, and you will find the 01 YouTube page. They have all the matches from the Fire Festival and some non-tournament action uploaded to their YouTube page. For example, one match they uploaded. Let me quickly get the card. It's loading. That was on July 29, in a urban park in Tokyo, in Shiba. The Shiba Akatsushi Park, that was a green park in the middle of skyscrapers that looked great, actually.
That's another thing 01 does great.
Yeah.
They're willing to go to different locations, just like the Shrine
right.
show that's here. Yeah. I'm a big fan of that.
You can not only find the 01 Fire Festival tournament matches, but for example, you can find matches like Dynamite Kanzai and Masato Tanaka taking on Aja Kong and Kintaro Kanemura. That was uploaded there too. Or for example, Akebono and Shogun Okamoto against Koei Sato and Shinjiro Otani. Okamoto is another guy I want to talk about later on, but first back to Otani. You saw the final, and quickly going to the finals, after he lost to Obata, Otani cried. He broke down inside the ring and cried because he didn't win the Fire Festival. And that was based on all the interviews he did following his matches. He was always talking to a invisible sword, because as the winner of the Fire Festival, you get the Fire Festival sword. And Otani was always holding this invisible sword in his hands, almost like a baby, and talking to the sword. And when he was beaten by Obata, he just broke down and cried because he didn't win it.
I thought that was a great show of emotion by Otani again, just in terms of facial expressions, emotions. And the thing I really want to note about this crowd here at the finals, not only was it a great crowd, they were into this show a lot.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, particularly the final match with Otani. Otani is the hero to the 01 fan base.
Yeah, but also Obata was really, really over. People, you know, we've been talking about Obata winning this tournament a few weeks ago when the tournament started. And it seems like the fans, the 01 fans, had the same grasp of Obata possibly being the one who wins it this year, and they were really into him winning.
Yeah, I totally agree with you here. The crowd, like I said, really throughout the whole show, you can look at the crowd up and down for the other matches earlier in the show. They really wanted to be there. There's a great energy to 01 shows, and I think something that nobody really talks about, because I've seen reviews and other podcasts that talk about 01 now and then, but something that nobody really talks about is the ring announcer for the show. Whenever something happens, not only in announcing, but in terms of, you know, if someone's getting counted down or something like that, or counted out while they're on the ground, he brings such a great energy to the show. I feel like, and the crowd rallies around not only the announcer, but everyone in the promotion. And I feel like there's a great vibe to 01 shows. I think it's, I've always thought that, especially this year, that 01 was a really underrated promotion in general. But this Fire Festival, as strange as the point system seemed at first glance, has really turned out to be a really big success, I would say.
Yeah.
I really loved a lot of what they did with the show. I thought they booked it really well, and it totally came into a great reaction in the final match, I thought.
Yeah, it really came, and, you know, 0-1 often runs small places like Shinkiba First Ring, and don't always sell the place out. They don't announce numbers for their shows. They run many small places, but they have many passionate fans. So, and if you can build on passionate fans, that's really something you have to have as a promotion in Japan. For example, Stardom. You know, Stardom doesn't always sell out the Kurikan Hall shows, but I was told when they do sell out the first rows, they are almost always good. Because that are always the most expensive seats, and they go to the most passionate fans, and they sell them out, and they are good. And for this, like 0-1, they always sell out the first rows most of the times, and they have their fans lined up there. And you know, this Fire Festival, not only saw Shinjiro Otani and Masato Tanaka have a great match, but for example, the story of Koe Sato. We've been talking about Koe Sato as we said that he relinquished the World Heavyweight Championship. And in fact, when he lost to Yusaku Obata in a great match on...
Yeah.
Let me just see when that match occurred. I think... July 14th in Shinkiba. Koe Sato had Obata beat, but then Obata rolled Koe Sato up in a small package and pinned him, which led to Sato being behind, 10 points behind Obata. And then Koe Sato just threw the World Heavyweight Championship inside the ring and said, okay, I don't know if I can be the champion anymore with this losing streak. But in the end, he still held on to the championship and went on to defend it against the Fire Festival champion.
I really think that Sato had... They really built up this win well for Obata, as we talked about before. I thought he was the natural winner for the tournament. And to see him move up, because Obata's someone who's always been kind of a... You know, anyone in 0-1 really is kind of underrated. You know, they don't always run on TV as much as other promotions sometimes. But the company has built Obata up well. Like you said, this was not a case of the fans, you know, rejecting someone or anything like that.
No.
They were behind Obata all the way on his rise up the card. And I can't wait to see that match with Sato, because I think that Sato is another guy. Like I said, he's been with 0-1 from the beginning, pretty much. And to see him have so much success now, not just in this company, in Big Japan, he's really grown his name the last year and a half, I would say, or the last 2 years. And hopefully Obata can get some of that shine too as well among the general audience. Like I said, like you said earlier, 0-1 was in some dark times for a while, but this year has been very positive in a lot of ways. If you look at their ring mats, they have a lot of great sponsors on there that really helps them out. I know, and as you said, the fan base is not as big as other companies, but they are passionate, which is something I look for. And I always enjoy 0-1 shows, and I always enjoy Obata matches, as well as Sato, so I think that is a great main event to build around. And if you look at their scene in general, they've got guys that can be a legitimate main event scene. And I think that's a credit to 0-1, because as you said, they did scale back, and they've managed to replace, you know, still have good talent even without you know, breaking the bank, so to speak.
Yeah, and you know, it's really built up very well with Otani just being this mastermind behind it all. Yusaku Obata, he started with Kaientai Dojo, I think in 2006 or 2005, something like that. He then went on to wrestle for Big Japan, Apache Pro, had some matches for the then spin-off promotions from New Japan, Lock Up. Just looking at a Lock Up show right now, he has in fact faced Tetsuya Naito at one Lock Up show in 2008. And he came to 0-1 in 2008 and has been the guy that most people thought he would be the next guy on top. But it's a really slow burn, and people in this day and age, people get people don't have the patience oftentimes, you know. But
yeah.
01 really has the patience with Obata, so they gave him the win in this Fyre Festival tournament. But he didn't win the world championship in his attempt. Now I think 2 weeks ago against Koei Sato. But this is a slow burn. You know that eventually Obata will win the world championship, and then in the end it's going to be a great celebration. And that's the point you were making when you said that there is no resentment from the crowd, because the crowd is behind this traditional, really traditional, yeah, slow burn, slow build up, and it's really done very well.
Yeah, I think the slow burn, you can totally say, has been a successful one for Obata, as I said, and that's a great point you made about Ohtani. You know, he wears a lot of hats for 01. He's really the man, you know, putting all these things together. And I think he's done a really great job, really underrated. People should talk about him specifically as not only a wrestler, but as a company man more. He's similar to Akiyama in a lot of ways in All Japan. And similar to Akiyama, he also does great things bringing in the right outsiders. I feel like,
yes,
I really enjoyed Fujita Hayato. And I was so happy he's back in 01. He's a regular, you know, when it comes to Fyre Festival, when he's not injured, or busy in Michinoku Pro. And as it was announced on the final show, Ultimo Dragon is coming in for the Tenkaichi,
yeah,
Junior Tournament in September. So I think that those are two great gets right there. It shows that Ohtani's still got a great mind for who to bring in. And if you really look at this card up and down, not only the heavyweights, but the junior heavyweights have great guys too. So they're really doing good things at 01 right now. And I'm really a fan of the roster when they bring in these outsiders like Dragon and Fujita. And I hope that 01 gets on TV more and gets promotions, because they're a really underrated group, I feel like.
Yeah, but it's really good that they upload their matches to their YouTube page if they don't make TV. That's a way to just follow this promotion. And, you know, other outsiders, they bring in Akebono sometimes when he teams, yeah, with Ryota Hama. And also Shogun Okamoto. They have added Shogun Okamoto to SMOP recently. And Okamoto, I haven't been all high on that guy, because he was with Inoki for a long time, and he didn't really have much exposure, didn't have many matches, because IGF runs not that often. And the guys in IGF don't get much experience from that. But he has been in the Fyre Festival, and as he has been in this tournament, you could see that he gets better and better with more experience he has.
And it's funny, because he's older, you know, Okamoto is, but like you said, I totally agree with you. Every time I see him, it seems like he does something good.
He's 32 years old, so it's not like that he's that old.
No, not like older as in terms of, I meant older as in, you know, he's still not overly experienced.
Oh, yeah, he's been in wrestling like 4 years, right.
Yeah, exactly. He got a late start, was what I meant.
Right, he was a sumo wrestler before.
Yeah, and you could tell his style a little bit. He has a mix of the sumo style. And in this match with Fujita Hayato, I thought it was really good. He brought some of that IGF style, that Hayato. He's not an IGF guy per se, but he brings a similar, you know, shooty kind of style to him, Hayato does.
Yeah, and he has a great sumo offense with his slaps he does.
Yeah, that is true. I really enjoy that too. I think he's getting better and better, as we mentioned. For a guy with his experience, you know, he started late, but I really think that there is a definite upside to Shogun. As you said, I can't wait to see some of his matches. He was kind of, not necessarily the odd man out, but when you see all the names of Hama, Tanaka, Hayato, Ohtani, all these guys, he was kind of near the bottom tier, so I was really looking forward to see what he would do to step up. So I can't wait to see his matches. And what did you think of, you've seen every one of the Fyre Festival matches, what did you say about his performance in particular?
Okamoto now?
Yes.
Yeah, Okamoto, he's been really good. I'm just, I as I said, the matches he had were good. The match with Hayato you saw on the final day was good, and he had some other good matches with guys like Obata, of course, with Otani, and it's really good for him to have been in this tournament. I'm just looking at his page right now to find more matches, because there were so many Fyre Festival matches I saw this week. But overall, you really can't do anything wrong when you watch the matches from Okamoto. Just don't watch Okamoto versus Kamikaze, because that was not very good. But yeah, let me just see. Kohei Sato. I don't think that match was uploaded, but I'm not entirely sure. But yeah, overall, in general, Okamoto has been good in this tournament. And another guy who has been really good was also Ryota Hama. Just before we started recording this podcast, I saw Hama's match with Fujita Hayato, and it sounds almost like a mismatch, but it really was a fun match. At one point, Fujita Hayato even managed to roll Hama into the KID, the guillotine choke that he does. And Hama is just so great in moving around that he is able to just do stuff like that with his weight. And he was nicknamed King the 100 Tons by 01. And that was just great. And yeah, overall, just watch the matches from Otani, watch some of the matches Okamoto did, and make sure to watch every Fujita Hayato match, because Hayato rarely makes tape.
that is true. He's such a great wrestler, though. This guy's been around, like you said, him versus Hama, that on paper is just ridiculous in a lot of ways, but Hayato has such a kick-ass style to him, you know, that he can match up against these bigger guys and not, you know, it's not a joke when he gets in the ring, because you know he can put a hurting on people. He has a great background. As you said, Kid Yamamoto was one of his trainers, an MMA fighter, and
they are good friends too, I think.
Yeah. He used his old theme song as his theme song. You know, he does the KID, the guillotine choke, as a tribute to him. He's such an amazing wrestler in Impro that I love that he's in 01 too. Like I said, him alone shows that Otani's got a good head on his shoulders when it comes to bringing in talent, because he could be, if Hayato, he also had a stint in New Japan, briefly for the, Super J Cup in 2009. But if Hayato was just one day decided, and he's really locked into Impro, so he's not going anywhere. But if he did, I think he would be if he came and made tape more, he'd be one of the guys that everyone talks about in the same vein as like Kushida or something like that, because he is one of the best wrestlers in Japan, in my opinion. Not even being hyperbolic at all. Whenever he makes tape, I go out of my way to watch him.
Yes.
He is great.
Also, for this tournament, make sure to follow along with the storyline of Kohei Sato relinquishing the belt, and then still getting some wins. And of course, Yusuke Obata, as he made his way to the finals of the Fyre Festival. What did you think about the final match?
I thought it was really good. I loved the crowd in this match. In particular, I thought, let me get my notes here on this match here. So, like I said, Otani was super over with the crowd. He seemed like the sentimental favorite, but Obata wasn't rejected at all. He was very over too, and I think that made a great dynamic. It wasn't one-sided. Otani brought back, like, he did his missile drop kick that he does to the back that he's kind of known for. Not as graceful as he used to do it with the springboard, but he still did it. Obata has a really cool moveset. I really like his moves. He did the axe guillotine driver at one point, and that was a great near fall.
Yeah, right.
And I thought, we talked about Otani's facials, but I thought Obata had some great facials near the end of being tired, exhausted,
even fighting. Right, the match on the 24th when he faced Tanaka, he also showed this great facial expressions, fighting from underneath and just being the guy, almost like saying, "I'm not taking this shit anymore from the veterans. It's my time now." And he had this fierce look on his face.
I know, and he's a great. He's like a true babyface, I feel like Obata is. He, like you said, his style is great from working under. And there was a great point in this match too, where they were both, it was near the end of the match, and they were both down, I think Obata hit his running double knees at one point, and they got to their knees and they were fighting, and then Ohtani just popped up and said, "Get up!" and it was a great moment, I thought. And another great thing that I loved in this match, I don't know if you saw this, but one of my favorite things about Ohtani is when he has the kind of punch drunk. he's about to lose, but he goes down swinging. And this one, he kicked out at one, which got a huge pop, but when he got up, he twisted around and was spinning around and throwing punches at nobody and fell down again, and I thought it was a great moment.
Yeah, you know, as I've been watching all of his matches this week, he has to slow down on this because he uses that punch drunk mode in nearly all of his singles matches, so he has to tone that a little bit down to not overexpose it. Overall, you're absolutely right with that point. He's great on that. The one criticism of this match I have, they started out working over Obata's leg, and Obata sold it well.
That is a good point.
Obata sold it well, but they just at one point they just stopped and they went into this striking exchange mode, which was great, but you didn't really need the legwork if you don't come back for it in the end.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that one. That is a good point. I thought the ending really brought it around, but like you said, and a lot of times with these matches, and this and New Japan, or really a lot of promotions these days, they can really benefit from cutting some of that stuff off that doesn't really go anywhere.
Yeah. You know, it's just taking time. You can have... Yeah. We've been talking about this on other episodes too. You can have a great 14 to 15 minute match which has a hot crowd. You don't have to go 30 minutes all the time. Noah.
Yeah, unless Noah can learn well. But I really thought the circumstance too after the match. Obata got a great win. Everybody was into it. Like you said, Ohtani, great emotion shown by him after the match. They had this girl reporter or something come out and interview Obata after the match, and he cut a really passionate promo, I thought. He showed great emotion himself after the win, after he got the trophy and the sword and everything, and I just thought it was a great moment. It really made the tournament look great. Like you said, I would have put... This is exactly what I would have done. I would have had Ohtani face Obata in the finals, because this win means a lot for Obata here. And I thought the match was really good, all things considered, though. Not like you said, I think those things you mentioned keep it from being a classic or anything like that. But
yeah, it's not a classic, but it was a good match.
Yeah, exactly. It was really good, though. Everyone should check that out, I think.
Exactly. So really, the Zero and Fire Festival, a great tournament in the summer for Zero One with some, as we mentioned, a great venue in this garden in Tokyo. Also with the hot crowd in Kirk and all. Check that out. And to that point, to 0-1 again and Ohtani again, Ohtani is in fact challenging for the Legend Championship as Masakatsu Funaki defends the title against Ohtani in Tokyo Diva Ariake on September 10 for Real Japan Pro Wrestling. But unfortunately, those shows rarely make Take 2.
Real Japan is like my favorite company ever that I never watch because it never airs. But I enjoy seeing the cards because they always bring in like Ishikawa.
Yeah.
My buddy, whenever he's in Japan, they bring him in.
Also, Alexander Otsuka too.
Yeah, Otsuka. They bring in all the guys that I like pretty much, but they never air. I wish they could get a deal. Super Tiger was there a long time. I wish they would make air. Like you said, that's not to me. Ohtani versus Funaki is a great match, and I wish we could see it. But, you know, Real Japan, step your game up when it comes to the TV rights deals in Japan. That's all I have to
say. Yeah, and another promotion we talked about, them rarely making tape, is, of course, Michinoku Pro Wrestling, Fujita Hayato's home promotion. But they are, in fact, making tape in September, I think, for two shows? I don't know. I have to look it up. They definitely will make air for the Fukumen League finals. The sixth Fukumen League, which translates to Masked Wrestlers League, and which of course implies that there are 16 entrants in this tournament, all masked guys.
And very logical.
Yeah. You know, this this Pokemon League has, in I believe, 1995. And there was, of course, the legendary incident with the great Sasuke and Dirtbike Kid.
Oh, God.
You can still see that on YouTube when you search for that, as the great Sasuke shoots on Dirtbike Kid. Yeah. It's something else, certainly. The tournament, the first Pokemon League, was won by, I think, Dos Caras. Let me just look that up. First meeting.
I love the format of the Mask League for them, too, because in that tournament, they did it where the two losers ended up having an Apuestas match, a Mask versus Mask match. And,
yeah.
Jerry Lynn was the one, as Gorgon Mask, ended up losing at the end there. So I think that's like a great gimmick for a tournament. All Mask men, the winner wins, and the two losers have a Mask match. I think that's an awesome... Stylistically,
wasn't he like Gorgon Cross or something?
Yeah, Gorgon Cross. Surprisingly, he lost his match. I never would have predicted it if I was there in 1995. He would not have. I never would have guessed.
Yeah, they don't do this tournament every year. They as you can probably tell, they did the one in 1999. Tiger Mask won that. Then
that was the one. My king was 99.
Oh, right. Not 95. Right. Yeah. Okay. 99. You're absolutely correct. They did one in 2003, won by Atlantis. 2007, Tiger Mask again. Then they had the fifth Pokemon League in 2012, won by the great Sasuke. That made Air 2. I remember watching some of the matches back then.
In that 2003 tournament, do you know who Atlantis beat in the final?
No, not from the top of my head. I had to look that
up. Okashin.
Of course.
a legendary match. But that was actually not a bad match, even though Kashin was on his last list, he always is now. But Atlantis was really good back then, so he could get a good match out of anyone.
Yeah, 2003 Atlantis was still not that bad. Yeah, now they are back for the sixth Pokemon League, which starts, I believe, let me just look that up on the Michinoku Pro homepage, starts on September 16, I believe. Yeah, September 16, and we have 16 entrants, as I just mentioned. We have the return of Rasei to Michinoku Pro Wrestling. He has been away since 2014, since December of 2014, went on an excursion, and I asked our resident Michinoku Pro fan, the Aussie Michi fan, who is running the Michinoku Pro English website on Facebook. He told me it's all been kept very quiet, suspiciously so, but I heard he was meant to be in Europe. I didn't see him anywhere. Apparently, he is writing a journal for the Pokemon World League, talking about what he was up to. But Ozzy says he never saw or heard a thing while he was doing it. So, you know, we have to find out. Second entrant.
I can't wait to hear what he has to say.
Where he's been. Second entrant is Asa 8, representing Okinawa Pro Wrestling, a company that is in fact defunct now. yeah.
I was just thinking that, like, that's Delphin's own group. Didn't they shut down?
Yeah. So Rasei has been recommended by the great Sasuke. Asa 8 has been recommended by Super Delphin, who still runs the office of Okinawa Pro, I believe. I don't know.
not the so.
Then we have Argos or Argos. What's the pronunciation here?
I always say Argos.
That's Argos. Okay.
Yeah.
He has been recommended by Ultimo Dragon. We have a guy named Revolucion from Cuba, recommended by Dick Togo. Then we have Kenbai from Michinoku Pro. Gabaichi-shan, the grandpa of professional wrestling, representing Kyushu Pro Wrestling.
Why?
We have, very, very interesting, the return of one Zugi to wrestling in general, I believe. He has taken a hiatus from wrestling. Zugi is a guy who had much shit going on in recent
yeah.
years. Some of you might probably remember that he once tried to accuse Nosawa Rongai and Io Shirai of bringing cannabis to Japan, which is Japan is very strict about drugs and
not big fans of that.
No. And in the end, Sugi told everybody that he was the one placing the drugs inside of a painting made by fans for Nosawa and Io Shirai. You really have to wrap your head around that story.
And the reason he gave when he did this was because he wanted to wrestle in Mexico, like with AAA. And someone, I forget who this was, the liaison between AAA and Japan, had a grudge against Nosawa. And basically told Sugi that, hey, if you screw over these guys, you know, Nosawa and Io, I'll get you a contract, you know, full-time
with
AAA.
Yeah, I think there was someone in the office, right?
Yeah, it was like the liaison for
AAA. Right, yeah.
I forget who that, what his name was, but whoever it was, like I said, you have to understand, a lot of people in Western companies countries don't really understand, like, Japan's drug policy, but this really could have, like, ruined Nosawa and Io. Like,
yeah.
With that, this, it's not something that's like, it sounds absurd in a lot of ways, but this was like really serious, like a crime that,
they could have gone to jail for many years, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Like they would have gone to jail. And as I understood it, he, you know, basically as soon as he had that conference where he announced, he was like, yes, I did it. I think he just left the country right after that, for at least a brief period of time. And, we've heard a lot of rumors of Nosawa wanted to come after him, like, legitimately.
So the guy you mentioned, his name is Masahiro Hayashi.
Yeah.
He later said that everything Sugi told about this story is false.
sure. <well. laughs> yeah, sure.
Sure.
The thing about Sugi is, despite all that, he's also been known under a million different names
in the past.
That's what he was known for before all of this, was that he had 100 gimmicks.
He was
much.
El Blazer. He was Yoshitsune in Michinoku Pro. The Namatsu Man. Noise. Ahi. Duoforce. Hustle Kamen Red. Little Dragon. Michinoku Ranger Gold. Minishima, actually. He was the Rabbit Boy. Shanao and the Zest. Man.
the Zest. I think it's impressive that you knew all that without looking it up.
Oh yeah, I totally didn't look that up.
Right off the top of the head.
Right.
He was also an amazing talent. He was really honestly one of my favorite wrestlers when he was Yoshitsune. He had a great match, speaking of Fujita Hayato. That was one of the best matches in Michinoku Pros, especially in the last, you know, since 2000, I thought they had one of the best matches together. Hopefully, I would like to believe that he reconciled all this with Nosawa and Io, but he will have some good matches if he makes tape. Like I said, it's just one of those things, because he really did pull a dick move to say the least.
Yeah,
but
he did.
Hopefully, like I said, hopefully he's changed his ways and, you know, he's not into that anymore, and he can just get back to being a good wrestler, because he is a great talent. If he could reconcile that with Nosawa and Io, I would love to have him back on the scene, because I think he's an amazing junior. At least the last time I saw him, like I said, he hasn't been around for quite a while.
Yes.
And this is the first I've seen of him since all that happened. So.
Well, he has been a great junior heavyweight hope, really, but he never was with one company for long enough to really get elevated to the point that he can really be a great junior heavyweight. He was always a great talent. He had great potential, but never really made anything of it.
I remember when he got put over Liger in like 30 seconds or
yeah.
like 3 minutes. And he looked like then he was like the next big star. But like you said, with all of these gimmicks and all of these promotions he's worked for, he just never took hold anywhere. And maybe it was something with maybe this wasn't the first incident. You know, it's just the first incident we know of. Maybe it's just his personality that, you know, caused a lot of those clashes. I don't want to speculate too much, but he was a great talent, and I'd love to see him pick up where he left off, and hopefully this is a sign that he is on his way to doing that, and I'm very interested to see what he does, Sugi-san, all said.
Right. Moving on, we have Super Tiger from your favorite company that never makes tape, Real Japan Pro Wrestling. A great entrant for this tournament. Kind of...
All Japan.
Yeah, right. Kind of a styles clash with all the high flyers we mentioned so far.
I'm always a fan of this. I said on my solo G1 show that I wish that they brought in a shooter type person for the tournament. I'm always a fan of different styles in the tournaments like that. And I think he's going to add something one way or the other for this.
Right.
I like Super Tigrate.
I do too. I think he's kind of the same like Shogun Okamoto. With more experience, this guy can get better. Australian Wolf, representing, of course, Australia. He has been touring with Michinoku Pro the entire August as they ran their summer vacation series, I think 2 weeks ago. Can't say very much about this guy. Haven't seen him wrestle, I believe.
I'm sure he has a nice name.
Yeah.
I'd be pretty good.
Then we have a series of guys that I really don't know. We have a guy called Asura from Thailand. We have a leprechaun representing, of course, Ireland. We have Maximus representing Rome in Italy. Then we have Samba Rio de Janeiro, representing, of course, Brazil.
Oh, God.
Jackie Lin, representing China. And number 15 in this tournament is the Walking Mummy. I hope this is Mecha Mummy.
Yeah.
And
how many mummy gimmicks can there be?
Yeah.
There can only be, you know...
Would be great if the Walking Mummy had a match with the Jedi. And number 16 was originally announced as a super heavyweight X representing Mexico to be announced on August 22nd, and they revealed the name, and it is in fact Caristico.
I couldn't believe it. When they announced this, it seemed to me, we talked about earlier, Argos. That is Caristico's cousin. And the thing about Argos is, he's not very good. I've watched him a bunch of times. And I feel like Caristico coming in, because that's a huge name.
Argos like Astro Boy? Something like that?
I've always known him as Argos. But he may have been something like that. He may have worked under a different name before. But he wrestled in AAA for a long time, not CMLL or Elite. He teamed with this guy called Cimental and now Taurus. And Argos looked really good in a tag team, but when he broke out on his own, he was not as good. he got kind of exposed. But he is Caristico's family, so I really feel like bringing him along was to get Caristico in. And just having Caristico in there is a great get for him, especially for Michinoku Pro.
Yeah,
like,
gets them exposure in Mexico.
Yeah, exactly. We've seen, especially this year, there's been a ton of, in Mexico, there's been a lot of Mexico versus the world type gimmicks.
Yes, the World Cup, the
Grand Prix.
Right. Yeah.
Various indie promotions have also done variations of that. But Michinoku Pro never seems to get in on it, because obviously they're a small company. Even 01 sent Hidaka for the World Cup.
Yeah.
So it's great, just to see him, Caristico, in there. The main thing is, I don't know how much you want to get into this, but at the Super J Cup, Caristico was there too, in his six man, and he looked not as good, but only because he's coming off of a torn groin recently, and he. Yeah, he came back earlier than expected just to, do this Japan trip. So hopefully by the time this league starts, Caristico is feeling a lot better and less injured. Because he is very good. He's had a great year in Mexico, I feel like. And he would add a lot, especially compared to a lot of these unknown guys that we don't really believe, or at least I don't really believe that these guys represent their shoot countries when we're talking about. I don't know what you know of the Italian wrestling scene.
Not that much.
it could be better, it's a great grit for the Roman, the Roman wrestling scene
for the Roman Empire. Yeah.
Yes, the Roman Empire. Actually, one of my favorite things is looking up wrestling from obscure places, like Chile. I watch some of their stuff with XL and his promotion. Yeah. South Africa has a scene. There's like a lot of different companies. A lot of people don't understand that there's wrestling everywhere in the world, even in obscure places. And sometimes they can be good, actually. Even in Italy, I saw a good Italian wrestler once whose name I can't forget, but it wasn't entirely terrible.
Italy for some time has been a really hotbed for wrestling. New Japan came to Italy a few years ago. They had indie shows in Italy they really drew great crowds in Italy. I think it is somewhat scaled back, but I believe Progress is even on TV in Italy. Something like that. I think or ICW. I think ICW is on TV in Italy. I believe that's it.
So New Japan's had a long-standing wrestling exposure in Italy. New Japan has, as I understood it, I don't think anyone can confirm for sure unless you live there. But New Japan is one of the most popular promotions in Italy.
That could be.
Yeah, it has been back to the days of Inoki.
You know, I can tell you that New Japan was on a channel called Eurosport back in the early 90s in Germany as well. That's where many fans growing up then saw the likes of Jushin Liger on TV in Germany and became a fan of New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure a similar thing there. When I watched their shows, the homegrown shows, It was scaled back. It was very similar to not necessarily like WXW, but some of the smaller companies in Europe, and things like the Netherlands as well.
Yeah,
their promotion was very similar to promotions like that. But they to represent these countries, I think, is great. I haven't heard of any of these guys myself, but I hope that they represent those countries, and if they don't, at least it's a fun gimmick to have all these guys.
Right.
I don't know about the Leprechaun concert.
I don't know either. But let's go through the tournament matches really quick. The aforementioned Caristico is taking on Samba Rio de Janeiro. We have Kenbei against Rase, Jackie Lin against the Walking Mummy, Gabai Ichishan against Asura from Thailand, Zugi taking on the Leprechaun, Argos taking on a Revolution from Cuba, Asa 8 taking on the Australian Wolf, and Super Tiger against the Roman Maximus. Then we have a 8-man tag match, Ultimo Dragon, Gaina, Ruyo Hiyogaji, and Daichi Sasaki against Bad Boy, Fujita Hayato, Manji Maru, Takeshi Minamino, and Ken 45. So, this Fukuman League is 4 days, and the finals are in Yahaba on September 19. So, that's your Fukuman League update.
I can't wait to see it air. It's great to see Impro anytime there that they can get on Samurai or, just air anywhere. There should be some good matches of that group. Like you said, 4 days. Some really interesting stuff. Like I said, I can't wait to see personally Sugi, someone I'm, and Rase as well. Those are two guys that I'm interested in seeing, as well as Caristico. And I'm personally someone who loves watching, learning new things and learning different cultures of wrestling.
Right.
And so I really think that it's awesome that like Cuban guys in there too. The Chinese guy. China's been getting a lot of publicity lately with WWE bringing in a couple of Chinese wrestlers in their Cruiserweight Classic.
Yeah, Bing Wan has been brought in as a contracted wrestler, Ho Ho Lun as a guy in the Cruiserweight Classic, and of course also Jason Lee from Hong Kong, who was in 01.
Yeah, Jason knew when he was in 01.
Right, yeah.
So the Chinese wrestling scene is getting more promotion than it ever had before. And I saw those guys wrestle, like 3 or 4 years ago, like Ho Ho Lun and Jason Lee. And talking about scaled back, China definitely was.
Ho Ho Lun, in fact, had a match with Kenbei in Michinoku Pro.
Yeah. And Kenbei is in a good match. He's facing, did you say he's facing Rase, right?
Right.
In the first round? So that should be a pretty interesting match right there. Of all the matches, that to me seems like the one most in doubt. up there, but I think Rusev should have a good tournament, and I think this whole tournament will be good. Do you know if they're doing the thing as we said before, where the bottom two players will put their mask on the line?
I don't know. Let me look it up. There is.
It would be great if they brought in Jerry Lynn for a special appearance. Maybe Dos Caras too.
There is nothing scheduled for the final show. So, I don't know.
Well, then the winner should get a special mask made instead of a trophy, I feel like. Especially a Michinoku Pro mask.
Maybe free ramen all life long in the restaurants that that Jinsei Shinsaki runs. That would be great, too.
That would be a great prize. I'd want to compete in that tournament. Like, if they did that, I might come out of retirement and adopt a new mask.
Well, this tournament starts in September, and another promotion I want to get into is Big Japan Pro Wrestling, as they have been running the Ueno Park in Tokyo. The Ueno Park is a very popular park, a very big park, in the Ueno district in Tokyo, and it's very popular, especially during cherry blossom, when the cherry trees are in full blossom. But Big Japan runs there in the summer for like many days in a row. They have been running this entire week, always a set of two shows, and there were some interesting matches. For example, Wednesday, right. They have the Big Japan Tag Team title. The Twin Towers, Shuji Ishikawa and Koei Sato, defended against Yoji Okabayashi and Yasufumi Nakanoe. And they also had yesterday, on Friday, as we are recording this on August 27, they had another Poseidon Adventure Poseidon Adventure Splash Match, right.
Yeah, the Poseidon Adventure Splash Match.
They had three, I think, in this summer right now, with Poseidon, played by Yuji Okabayashi, being the great popular king of the waters, king of the sea. We've been talking about one Poseidon Venture Splash match in February that was also talked about on the flagship show of MLW, in fact. And these summer adventure Poseidon Adventure Splash matches are not something for everybody, but it's really a fun time where they just throw water at everybody. There was, in this one match I saw, I think from August 4, from the beginning of August, there was, I think Kazumi Kikuta went through the audience and just splashed water all over everybody, which was amazing. Michelle, who is in the Classic Japanese Pro Wrestling group as well, Purezu Kaiwa at Twitter, she was there as well, and she was soaking wet from this from this experience with Kikuta running with water buckets through the audience. They had a little kids pool set up in front of the ring, so the ring is placed on a theater stage or something like that, and they had a little pool underneath that, and they threw each other into the pool and had just a great time.
This is brilliant. I first of all, I have to completely disagree with you that this match is not for everyone. If you don't like this match, you really are a grumpy bastard. Like, this is awesome. Like, who could not like this? Like, well, the Poseidon Adventure.
Yeah. Well, I'm all about having fun in wrestling, but you know, some people just think that it ridicules wrestling, but it really doesn't.
Oh, come on.
Because especially in Japan, they have such a great grasp of getting serious when it's serious and having fun when it's time to have fun. And they can switch from any moment going on to having comedy matches and getting serious again.
But like I said, in this case, this was the time for fun and comedy. Like I said, as we know, our listeners would know, my last podcast, I didn't like Yano in the G1 because the G1 was, to me, should be more important. If they had the Poseidon Adventure in the middle of the G1, I would think it would be dumb. But on its own, just to have fun in the middle of the summer, it's probably 100 degrees, probably like 50 degrees Celsius or whatever.
Oh no, that, not that hot actually. No,
that's way hotter than 100 degrees. I realize that. but look, I can't be known for everything. I can't know everything. But anyway, the point is, it's really hot in the summer, and just to have fun with these guys,
especially in Japan, it's really humid too.
That too. Where I live, it's also very humid as well, so I can relate to Japan in that way. But this was just awesome. This stuff is just fun, and I think a lot of times with Big Japan, they also get a big problem is they get miscast. A lot of the strong BJ guys, everyone still thinks that yes. BJW is all blood and guts, and they still do have the death matches, obviously, but there's so much more to it than that in Big Japan. I wish people would realize that.
Yeah, that's a great point, actually. I often see people on Twitter saying, oh, isn't Big Japan this promotion where they have this landmine death matches and exploding barbed wire things? No, that's actually just Onita.
It used to be that way. They needed to do something different to get, to get their name going. But, really since probably over a decade now, I would say, they've had a great mix of great talent, like those guys we said, Shinobu, often wrestles there, people like that. And it's really balanced. Obviously, the death matches have their fans, and that's why they still do it, because it brings in a certain audience that doesn't get death matches anywhere else.
Right.
Outside of, like, Union Pro, maybe.
Especially starting with the emergence of Daisuke Sekimoto back in 2005.
Yes,
that really got the strong BJ scene going, and they have a lot of great guys there, up-and-coming guys like Ryuchi Kawakami, Nakanoa is now with them. They have Katsuki Hashimoto, who is back, and he is ripped to shreds.
Ooh, yeah.
Man. He really used his time off. He really used his injury time to train a lot.
Oh, yeah, he is jacked. I saw a picture of him. He looks spectacular in terms of the bodybuilding world. How excited were you when you found out that he was back?
Man, it's great. It's great to see him back. Katsuki has always been one of my favorites. I've seen him live for WXW twice, actually. And he really brought it. He was connecting very well with the audience, much better than Kawakami, to my surprise back then. But Katsuki is a great guy. He connects with the audience, and I hope he has a great future with Big Japan, especially maybe getting a tag team title run soon. But, he's not teaming with Daichi Hashimoto in the Big Japan Tag League, actually. The blocks were announced today for the Tag League starting on September 4th. The first match of the Tag League on September 4th in Sendai, I believe, is Strong BJ, Daisuke Sekimoto, and Yuji Kobayashi taking on Speed of Sounds, Tsutomu Ōsugi, and Hercules Zenga. But the blocks, they have 16 teams in this tournament right now, making it the biggest Big Japan tournament ever, which when it comes to manpower. The Deathmatch Block A, Yenki Nichu Kenju, Yuku Miyamoto, and Isami Kodaka. We have the Gokudos, Kankuro Hoshino, and Masato Inaba. We have the B-Faultless Junkies, Masashi Takeda and Takumi Tsukamoto. We have the third generation Shimidori Brothers, the third generation Guts or Bloody Brothers, Takayuki Ueki and Masaya Takahashi. Block B for the Deathmatch guys, Abdullah Kobayashi and Yaki Numasawa, Ruji Ito and Toshiyuki Sakuda, Saburo Inematsu and Ryuchi Sekine, and the Brahman Brothers, of course. Strong Block A, Twin Towers, the Big Japan Tag Team Champions, Shuji Ishikawa and Koe Sato, Daisuke Sekimoto and Yuji Kobayashi, Hideki Suzuki and Takuya Nomura. Dylan. Takuya Nomura.
Nomura, man, this guy is going to be a star, one way or the other, because just to see his interactions with everybody, every time I see this guy, I was like, where did he come from? Because he is just like, to me, the next Kamatani. I think he has every bit of potential to be like that. And Kamatani is another guy who's still young, obviously, as a champion. But to see Nomura, like I said, and such a great team with Suzuki, too. The perfect partner. We've seen Suzuki with Uto earlier in the year, did great things, both as a team and against each other as well. And hopefully we can get some of that same dynamic with these guys. Just look at all of those teams you listed in this tournament. To me, like, even in the deathmatch block, you know, that's not for everybody, and not even for me a lot of the times, to be honest with you. But they have great names in there. You know, Tsukamoto is a talented wrestler on his own.
Masashi Takeda.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Speed of Sounds, you know, good tag team as well. So both blocks bring something different. I like that they do that. Even though deathmatch isn't really my preferred style personally, I appreciate that they do different things in different blocks. I wish another company would find some way to incorporate that somehow, not necessarily death matches, but just a different style into the tournament. And the strong block obviously is crazy great. If anyone is listening to this show for any amount of time, they'll know that Big Japan is a favorite of both of ours. And just this tournament, to me, this could really be up there with any of the tournaments. This has been a year of tournaments in Japan,
yeah,
in a lot of ways. But this could be right up there. You know, we saw the strong climb earlier in Big Japan. That was an amazing tournament, I thought. And with a lot of these players in there. Who do you think is going to win the tournament?
I don't know.
There's a lot of great teams to pick from.
Yeah, I still haven't gone through block... we still haven't gone through all the teams, actually.
Oh,
as we start with Hideki Suzuki and Takuya Nomura. You mentioned Speed of Sounds.
That's so fired up.
Yeah. You mentioned Tsutomu Osugi and Hercules Senga. Then we have the strong block B, being led by Smop, Akebono, and Ryota Hama, back in Big Japan. Hideyoshi Kamitani and Daichi Hashimoto, a very interesting team. Those two faced each other for the number one contendership for the Strong World Heavyweight Championship right before Sumo Hall. We have Ryuichi Kawakami and Yasufumi Nakanoe, and Yoshihisa Uto and Katsumi Kikuta. And from all those teams, you know, I would really love to see a final match between Yenki Nichi Kenju and Kamitani and Hashimoto. That would be great.
That would be great. Kamitani has really ascended the ranks this year in Big Japan. I think, but really, and if you look at the strong block A, you know, you've got teams like, you know, the Twins and Strong BJ. They're above needing any of these wins. You know, they're already, you know, they're great. They're popular. Everyone loves them. And I think if that were to happen, I could easily see, you know, Yenki Nichi Kenju, get the win, in that tournament. Is there
again?
They're also. Yes, exactly.
They have been winning this tournament a lot.
they are known for that. And they're another team that they're, even though they're in the deathmatch block, you have to give them their due because they're really great wrestlers.
Yeah.
Both of these guys. We've seen them work in all sorts of different promotions over the years. But I think, I'm looking at the teams right now. I brought it up. I'm looking at it. I think that Kamitani Hashimoto would be great because it would. Kamitani's already the champion, obviously. Hashimoto would get a lot out of being in the finals, I think, just being up there. You know, I think that really is a great pick of you. You know, maybe be Faultless Junkies if they want to do something different.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just like you said, because it seems like Yenki Tsukenju is always in the mix of this tournament. If they just want to do something different, I wouldn't mind that. Hoshino and, you know, and Yueki and Takahashi, rather. You know, just maybe not the Brahmin brothers, but, you know, there's just a lot of great talent in this tournament. That's really the main point, you know. And whether you like death matches and strong style or you just like strong style, you're going to have a lot to see here. And I think Suzuki and Nomura, this shouldn't surprise anyone, that I think their arc is going to be one of the most interesting to me, just from a storyline perspective. Not necessarily who has the best matches.
Right.
But they're a team that I'm on the lookout for. And Uto Kakuda as well. That's a great young team. Mm-hmm. You know, the young guys, even though they're probably going to lose all their matches, obviously, but they're just being a fun team to watch. And like you said, Kamatani is just great stylistically. And obviously, like I said, the stalwarts, Strong BJ and Twin Towers, are going to put on great matches against everyone. So what is there not to love about this tournament, too? BJW is such a great promotion, just in general, I feel like.
Yes, and to...
And this goes almost 2 months, this whole tournament, too.
Yeah, goes until October 31st. To your 2 points you made, 1 point being the deathmatch, the deathmatches... Great thing about Big Japan is they have actual pro wrestlers in their death matches,
yeah, exactly,
who can do pro wrestling and just don't only throw shit at each other.
Yeah, this is a CCW.
You know, they incorporate the deathmatch stuff into their wrestling matches.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Abdullah Kobayashi isn't necessarily the greatest pro wrestler, but he is a guy who can move and he can have fun matches. But they have great guys in these deathmatch blocks. And another point you made about Hideki Suzuki and Yoshihisa Uto. Uto and Suzuki were a team in the Saikyo Tag League last year, and Uto really gained a lot from this. He grew a lot as a pro wrestler, teaming with Suzuki first, and then facing Hideki Suzuki later on in the Strong Climb tournament. So I think the same is going to happen for Takuya Nomura, who is already very good and had great matches with Suzuki already.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I couldn't believe how good this is, you know, this new guy is. That, I mean, where does BJW find these guys?
Because I don't know.
You look at Noah, you know, they have like one guy who's really came up through their system in the past what decade? It seems like.
Well, they have three guys now.
Kiyomiya to me is much better than the other two.
He is, definitely, in my
opinion.
Yeah.
But like I said, to me, Nomura's right on that level already with the young lions that everyone, you know, gushes over. And like I said, even in this tournament, you know. Like you said, that was what I was thinking too, that Nomura is kind of in Uto's role this year. And I think there's no reason the exact same thing can't happen. Nomura can't grow again, and I'd love to see these two break off into some sort of rivalry out of it. Though the rivalry between Uto and Suzuki is almost kind of like a bro type rivalry in a lot of ways. Like they're friends, but they're also enemies at the same time.
That's a great description.
They go at each other on Twitter a lot too. They always talk to each other on Twitter.
Oh,
and not like go as in like insult each other, but they just talk to each other on Twitter. And hopefully something like that can happen with Nomura as well. And I'm really pumped up about this tournament. Like just talking about it, even the death matches block. Like I said, death matches. You made an excellent point about these guys are wrestlers that use death matches, and I think that's a little more tolerable than just, you know, blood and guts, you know, pretty much sometimes. And I think Ito and Sakuda as well, their team, Ito's always very famous for his death matches. Arguably really was the ace of Big Japan for a long time. And I hope that he can pull some good stuff out of Sakuda and have a good run here. And I think both blocks have a lot to offer.
Right. They do. And, As we were talking about Takuya Nomura, when talking about 0-1, we missed that they actually have another tournament lined up, which is the Tenkaichi Junior Tournament that is in September. They have it in Shinjuku Face. It's the tournament. The tournament will take place in Shinjuku Face, and that's up for that as well. As of right now, we have, you mentioned, the Ultimo Dragon. We have Shinjiro Otani, Kotaro Suzuki, Takuya Nomura, and a guy from Sportiva, a very small promotion in Nagoya, Shinya Ishida.
That is a great list of names. You just listed.
And there, I think there are going to be five more names. I expect.
Yeah,
I think Ikuto Hidaka and Takuya Sugawara will be in the tournament as well, and there'll be then three other names still.
Yeah, there's. Just a lot of great things going on. As we mentioned, that tournament, I was really excited to see Ultimo get his shot. Even though he's older now, in a lot of ways, I think he's actually grown overall as a full performer in the ring.
Yes, he is a great mat technician.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not what you expected. A lot of people thought he was done, you know, 12 after they botched his surgery on his knee and messed everything up. Everyone thought it was over.
Well, then he slowed down. He became more technically sound, a little bit more ground-based, which has done him very good, very well, for his just being a experienced veteran junior heavyweight wrestler.
Exactly. He plays a great role in All Japan. I wish he was in the J Cup. I will say this every time that as long as we're on this show, that Dragon deserved to be in there. And also we're going to see Takaiwa in this tournament.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll obviously add a lot. He's another guy that brings a lot of great different dimensions rather than just a high flyer. He has the power. Ultimo has the technical wrestling. Otani brings the emotion. We're going to see Hidaka just do everything. Just an amazing wrestler in general. Just a great tournament. And the best part is the winner will get the Dragon Balls and make his wish, which always makes this one of my favorite tournaments of the year.
Yeah. They really do this very well. They have the 0-1 president giving out these Dragon Balls to the participants and one by one just giving out these balls, these Dragon Balls, to just build this tournament, this nice tournament up. And I think Shinjuku Phase is a great venue for this. Shinjuku Phase holds about 600 fans, and that's just what I think would be a great atmosphere for this kind of tournament.
We've seen in other tournaments with juniors recently that maybe running big buildings might not be the best idea.
Tournament could that be?
Some may not have filled 50% of their arena in this recent tournament, but I think this will do good. I think they did very smart things bringing all these guys, and as we said, the winner will get the Dragon Balls. The dragon will appear live on television.
And Shenlong will appear.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And Shenlong. But yeah, anyway, he will grant the wish of the winner. And that's always something I look forward to see what the winner will wish for. And it will probably be a title shot, as history has told us, but you never know. They could throw a swerve at it. Someone could wish for, you know, maybe what if they wish for free ramen at Jinsei Shinzaki's?
Right, yeah, man. That could actually work out.
Yeah.
But, you know, Dylan, you're good at throwing transitions at me today because you just mentioned promotions not filling 50% of their seats. And, well.
Fit that group recently.
Pro Wrestling Noah. They ran Diffa Ariake on Thursday with two title matches. Junior title, Kanemaru defeated Kenno to still hold on to the GHC Junior Heavyweight title. Yeah, not a fan of that. And in the main event, we had Takashi Sugiura going over Maybach Taniguchi in 30 minutes and 31 seconds with an elbow smash. And this show drew 487 fans, not even filling half of the seats in Diffa Ariake. We saw Kitamiya going over Goshi Ozaki. Goshi Ozaki had a fall from grace, really. 1 month ago, he was the champion. Now he's dropping falls to get Kitamiya in place for another GHC title or for his first GHC title shot. Man.
Noah. You know, speaking of falls from grace, what did Nakajima do on this show, Strigger?
On this show? That wasn't actually on this show. That was 1 week earlier on the 18th.
Yeah.
Well, Nakajima returned as the glorious hero from his G1 Climax campaign, leading Pro Wrestling Noah in defeating the New Japan Dads featuring Katsuyori Shibata, pinning Manabu Nakanishi, returning home to Noah to dropping a fall to Quiet Storm. Nothing against Quiet Storm, but just this whole story of Nakajima returning home from G1 to lose. I just don't get it.
You always say when we talk about this that Nakajima is the next guy. And in a perfect world, I would agree. But how can you trust this promotion to this booking team to do anything right when, you know, not just Shizaki. As we said, we see the attendance tanked tremendously for this match. Not surprising when they put Maybach.
No, the promoter of WXW in Germany, when I tweeted out that Noah drew 400 or not even 500 fans for this match in Differ-Ariake, the German promoter of WXW just asked me, "Who are you expecting to buy a ticket for this show?"
Exactly. See, the WXW promoter has got it right. I totally agree with him. And like I said, really, we talked about it last time when Shizaki dropped the title, that maybe this was a sign that, you know, business could pick back up. To me, you can't blame any one person for where Noah's at right now. You know,
no, it's not a personal issue of anyone, really. No. It's just the grand scheme of it all.
Yeah, and, you know, and it's just the grand scheme of it all, this company sucks. Like, now. That is the problem now.
You can't say it any nicer, I believe.
No, and like I said, I want to talk about this right now, because a lot of people talk about the Super J Cup. Yes, it was bad because Tai Chi moved on. Tai Chi sucks, obviously. To me, Kanemaru is just as bad. Equally, even more boring. To me, he adds nothing to this company. The fact that he would publicly say that he's publicly saying that he's only in it for the money. Everyone knows this. This is not a secret, what we're doing. You can just watch the performances. And when I see him go over people like Keno, you know, that to me, and the juniors are where Noah, that's the last lifeline for Noah in a lot of ways.
Were we talking about that Keno has to be the next guy, and we fully expected him to win the championship, which goes to your point of don't trust this promotion with building up guys.
Exactly. Like I said, that's why I'm hesitant on Nakajima doing anything, because I don't trust the booking. I don't trust the only person that they haven't completely ruined is Kiyomiya. Like I said, the young lion, the eyebrows wearing man.
And you know, Kiyomiya, he has a great future ahead of him if they
that
really...
That day's coming when they screw him up, though. As long as this group is still in play, they have to get someone new booking this, because I don't care who it is, Jado, I don't care. They're killing this company. And right before our eyes, this company is just massively destroying itself. And I hate it so much. It gets me so riled up when I think about it. Segura is an amazing wrestler, one of my favorite wrestlers of the last, you know, decades, the last 15 years. He was the guy. He was the very first student from, you know, that Noah debuted from their, you know, dojo. He, more than anyone, even more than Marufuji, in my opinion, represents the old Noah. To have him do this stupid Suzuki-gun angle and be in that is a total slap in the face. That, to me, was the last straw for a large portion of the fan base of Noah. I don't think they're going to get them back as long as we see Suzuki-gun running around or in Jado booking.
He feels out of place in Suzuki-gun.
I know. Like, he's totally the wrong person to do this. I understand wanting to turn someone, you know, whatever. I don't understand why the storyline is still, why these guys are here.
I don't know.
I personally, another thing on the G1, the time bomb, a lot of people think that Suzuki's coming back. Suzuki-gun is coming back to New Japan. I hope so. Not because Suzuki's any good, because I know a lot of people are fans of Suzuki, and I'm sorry for saying this. Suzuki has been awful in Noah for a long time now.
Man.
And, yeah, it sucks. You know, Father Time catches up to everyone, but I really believe, and this is just my opinion on this, I really believe when Suzuki-gun leaves, that's going to give a phantom bump to Noah's attendance, just because I think a lot of people just see those names and have just been turned away so bad, they've been burned so many times, that of course they don't want to see this promotion when you see Kanemaru with the title. Suzuki-gun still holds the titles, you know, the main two titles of the company, even after this storyline fizzled out in December. And it had already been bad before that point.
You know what the catch-22 situation of this one is? We know from some of our listeners from Japan, we know from fans I talked to in Japan, a lot of Noah faithfuls have been driven off by the Suzuki-gun storyline. We've talked about this a lot. But still,
and they haven't replaced them.
That's the catch-22 situation. Suzuki-gun is there. They have attracted some fans from New Japan going to the shows, some, a little bit of a new audience. But when Suzuki-gun leaves, do you expect the Noah faithful to just return to the company that has annoyed them so much? I don't. I just don't.
I think there will be a minor bump. I don't think everybody's coming back. Like, it's going to take years to rebuild things. Like I said, I really think it would be smart just to wipe the slate clean with everyone in Noah. Right now, there's such a stink on this company, I feel like, both in Japan and among American viewers. I think it may be a good idea just clean house. You know, we have Go. He's in this new wrestler representative figurehead.
Yes, he's the chairman of the Noah Wrestlers Association. Well,
a very prestigious title.
Yes,
but I think they do have pieces in place on this roster. You know, Shiozaki is a good wrestler, not necessarily as the ace. He's not. I think he has a great future as a heel presence. We've seen it in New Japan and Noah. Pretty much every company, everyone hates Go. Like. Which could be a great thing, though, if he could embrace it, feel like.
The thing is, everybody hates Go, but I don't really know if he has what it takes to be a heel. I don't know.
I think he
is too bland for being a great heel.
Yeah. Did you see the New Japan and Noah thing?
Yeah. The hottest Noah has ever been, and none of Suzuki-gun has been in this match.
Yeah, all the Noah originals representing, even Maybach looked good at that match.
You know, Maybach Taniguchi, he's one of the best guys they have right now. And
he's not bad with the mask. He's not a bad... and that scared me to death when he put that mask back on. I was like, what are they thinking? That may have been their dumbest thing when that happened. I was like, no. But, yeah, so anyway, I think Go actually played up during that match. He got a ton of heat, and I thought he played it up, you know, pretty well, all things considered. I don't think it's a hopeless situation. I think him as an ace, as, like, you know, a fan favorite type person, I think it's going to take some time to get back to that point, because like I said, everywhere he goes, even on Fortune Dream, he was the one man in his match, the four men that got booed. I just think there's a lot of heat on Go for being a money mark, you know, in layman's terms, I guess. Mm. And I think he could play that, if he could find a way to tap into that and play that up, I think that he could be a really good presence on these shows. I think Sagira is a great wrestler. Marufuji's got a lot of great hype around him after the G1. You know, Nakajima as well, if they wouldn't do, and this is nothing against Quiet Storm, like you said, I actually don't hate Quiet Storm. A lot of people rip on him a lot, but, you know, he's fine for what he is, for mid-card type person.
He is, but, man.
Not going over Nakajima.
A GHC tag team title program, Maro Fuji and Toru Yano against Mohamed Yone and Quiet Storm.
That's another issue.
Who is going to buy a ticket to see this match?
But that's another thing. Like I said, the tag teams were always a strong point of Noah. The tag teams and the juniors, they still have the juniors there if they don't do crazy things, like put Kanemaru over so much. Like, really, what does... Who buys a ticket to see Kanemaru?
I don't know.
You know, what does he add? Because he's the worst wrestler of all the juniors, to me, clearly. And Taichi's not signed with Noah, so he doesn't count. But, like, to me, he's the worst person possible to be the face of the division. And this just makes everyone think the whole company's shit now. People like the juniors they used to in Noah. Even when American fans didn't think Noah was much, the juniors were still very popular, very over. When Katoge won his title, that was a big moment. His show where he made a visit in his hometown in Osaka did great numbers. He looked great, and Harada, great wrestler, Ishimori, great wrestler, and just everything about Kanemaru and Suzuki-gun being on top in the heavyweight scene. I think Sugera could be a great champion in a different role if he was presented differently.
Mm.
But It just, like I said, even if he was, there's no one person that's going to save this. Save the Ark, so to speak.
Save the Ark, yeah. I don't know who's going to save the Ark. The thing is, with Masaaki Tamiya being the next GHC title contender, he's not getting a push right now. The thing, the thing is, he is only getting the title shot to get Nakajima in line to be the next guy to get a title shot.
Like I said, I don't want to even predict that right now, because I think that's what we all want. We all want Nakajima to, you know, be the hero for Noah, you know, because he's a great wrestler. He got super over in his New Japan run. And I would like to see that too. And he was the hero in the, you know, the big Noah angle, or the New Japan Noah angle. And he's someone that could be a great champion in his own right, but like I said, there is no savior. Like, do not bring this up ever, because it's not there. No matter who it is, if Tanahashi jumped to Noah today, I don't think that would save this company.
It's gonna be very interesting to see what number Noah does when Okada does his match, his tag match against Amaro Fuji.
I don't anticipate much, to be honest. Like I said, I don't think there's any one legend that can, or, you know, legend, superstar, whatever. I don't think any one person is saving this. I think it'll do better than usual, because obviously the added promotion of the IWGP champion. But, like, just, like I said, I don't care who it is. There's no one that can save this company. It's just gonna take a lot of things.
Could Atsushi Onita be the savior of Noah?
Well, he is a promotional mastermind. I will give him.
Well, Atsushi Onita. He did. We have to end this show on a positive note.
Thank God. Good.
Because Friday, August 26th, saw the debut of Fire Pro Wrestling in Tokyo Diffa Ariake, same venue that Noah ran one day earlier. Onita for his show drew a completely sold out house of 1,014 fans. No ticket left for the main event of Atsushi Onita, Chavo Guerrero Sr., Hideki Suzuki, and Nosawa Rongai against Black Undercover F, Kendo Kashin, Hideki Suzuki. No, wait a second. I got it wrong. The Hideki in Onita's team is Hideki Hosaka. That's right. Okay. But Undercover F, Kendo Kashin, Hideki Suzuki, and Shogun Okamoto, the IGF guys. That was the main event for this show, drawing a sold-out place.
I think this just proves that Kendo Kashin is the greatest.
Well,
you know, what can we say?
You know,
he should go to Noah and be the savior.
Another guy who could be the savior is Nosawa, because he outdrew Noah two days in a row with his Tokyo Gurren-tai promotion. Granted, a lot of fans bought tickets to see Terry Funk, and Terry Funk couldn't make it because of a hernia surgery, I believe. So Nosawa booked Akebono instead of Terry Funk.
Close enough. They're very similar when you look at them.
Well, yeah, and they had a great main event match with Masato Tanaka, Kotaro Suzuki, and Harashima against Seiya Sanada, Masada, and Fujita.
Yeah,
Sanada not with his Los Ingobernables gimmick. He had his flashy, colorful pants on. He had in the strong climb too.
I think that shows in the tournament. I talked about this in the G1. I really think that Ingobernables deal holds Sanada back, and I think he feels the same way. I think he's much more comfortable as himself, and I think that's another sign of that he would go back to that. But that does sound like a great match. I feel like, you know.
So I hope Tokyo Gurren-tai, they usually make tape, so this show really looks interesting. And yeah, I believe that's our update for now. Dylan, is there anything else we need to get in?
I wish we could find a match that had Hideki Suzuki on both teams.
Yeah.
But, besides that, it's been, you know, I really enjoyed the show here. Like I said, I really loved having you back. It's been a while.
Yeah.
A little bit. You know, I had to go solo on my show. It's very lonely.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But you survived the wilderness as I knew you would. You know, like I said, the thing about Striga, as a lot of people don't know, is that he's almost like Man versus Wild in a lot of ways. Survivor Man. He could survive anywhere. You know?
Well, I wouldn't go so far. let's say I could survive somewhere, not anywhere.
well, okay. But you know, it just shows that the depth of promotions in Japan, you know, there really wasn't any New Japan. We've had our fill of that with G1 and everything.
Yeah, exactly.
look at all these promotions that are doing stuff, interesting things in Japan right now. And a big point I want to make, one last point on that, Tokyo Gurentai, as well as Fire Pro. A lot of people say that, and I feel like this, like I'm conflicted on this a lot of times, that Japan needs less promotion. And that it hurts. You know, it hurts everything just to have so many promotions. But that show right there, those two shows right there, it says, if you do things that are interesting, people will come.
Exactly. You know,
and if you do crappy shows like Noah, people might not come. You know, it's just one of those things. People won't buy, you know, crappy shows. But one last thing here I did want to mention. You watched the Sendai Girls 10th anniversary show.
Yes.
You know, that was the match main evented by the great Meiko Satomura, as well as Io Shirai. And what did you think of that match?
Very interesting main event with Io Shirai and Meiko Satomura. Not as good as their match in December for Stardom, but still a good match for the Sendai Girls World Championship. Very intense, very fierce, a lot of strikes. Good match. This show, the undercard or the matches underneath weren't necessarily very exciting, but there was some interesting stuff along with Cassandra Miyagi. We've been pushing her name. She was in a match with Kyoko Kimura against Hiroe Nagahama and Shuri, who returned for this match. She does some wrestling still with her MMA career, not that much. I don't see her on many shows, I believe.
She's actually, I watched her fight at Pancras.
Oh,
she's really good. Like as an MMA fighter, she's always had a kickboxing background, and I love her as a wrestler. Like she's honestly one of my favorite Joshi wrestlers.
That's great.
And, yeah, so I love seeing her when she pops up. I hope she still sticks around for as much as she can in between training. As you said, Miyagi, very charismatic. Not necessarily the style of Shuri or like a super work rate type person, but so charismatic. And
She has a personality. She has.
Yeah, exactly. But she's getting better. She's still very young. Like, she's still really green.
Yeah.
But really good stuff. We saw Hamada and Iwata as well have a match. But the problem with the undercard of the show is that all the main matches were clipped.
So, yeah.
to you know, nothing, basically. And I was looking forward to that match because Iwata, I think, is a great rookie, and Hamada's always awesome. But Sendai Girls, you know, they're a good promotion in that I really love that they're one of the few promotions that are operated outside of Tokyo. You know, they're obviously in the Sendai region. I think they represent well for a Joshi company. And obviously Satomura is a living legend, one of the best wrestlers. If you look at her year up and down, she had a match with Shuri in March, I believe, which was just a fantastic match.
Oh.
Her match with Aja Kong, amazing match.
Yes.
Earlier in the year. So she's had a low-key great year. A lot of people in Joshi only know Stardom. You know, in the English speaking, because they cater so well to the English speaking fan base. But Sendai Girls is a great promotion to watch. They have wrestlers like Dash Chisako, who's a great wrestler in her own right.
She was in a great match too. That was the Sendai main event of that show. Dash Chisako teamed with Chihiro Hashimoto, a great up and coming talent.
Yeah. Much like Iwata.
Yeah, against Aja Kong and Raiden Hagane. Fun semifinal main event with Chihiro Hashimoto getting a little exposure against the much more experienced wrestlers.
Yeah, and Aja always wrestles there. She's still pretty good, you know, for her age. You think she would have slowed down, but she can still bring it. Like I said, that match with Satomura was one of the best matches of this year, in my opinion. That'd be in my top 10, you know, top 15 at least.
And also, what makes this show stand out is the audience. They drew over 2,000 fans for this show in Niigata.
This was the anniversary show.
Yeah, their 10th anniversary show. Great crowd for a Yoshi promotion these days.
Yeah, really, for any promotion, that's a great number. And as you said, like a lot of the names, a big time match with Satomura and Io, in there. EOS had a great year too, in Stardom, obviously, but nice that this was a good match. I agree that their match in December was, it just felt bigger, in their match in December. It just, you know, just a little bit bigger in every way. Just in the ring, the moment, of EO winning the title. But this was a really good match too. Everybody should check that out, as well as the semi-main. As you said, I really enjoyed that tag match with Dash and, Hashimoto versus Kong and Hagane. And like I said, they bring in a lot of veterans, like, the Infernal Kaoru was in this match, and I was so disappointed. They brought in Shinobu Kendori, who Okada totally ripped off his look from. I will always make this point. Like, he is a clone of Kendori, but, I was so disappointed because they clipped the match all the hell, and I was like,
no. Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so I was very, she's like one of my favorite Joshi wrestlers of all time, so I was so unhappy.
Also, Hikaru Shida and Kaoru were in that match too, so. Hiroyo Matsumoto as well, and that match was clipped to hell, yeah.
I know. Like, this basically had all my favorites. and they decided just, no, we'll just clip this.
Damn it.
You know, well, I have a question for the listeners. Before we end the show, there is one thing, as we know, the hot-blooded young man, Sky Blue hot-blooded young man.
Oh, boy.
I want to point this out to the listeners. What do we say? Because in my opinion, I'm a big fan of Hiroyu Matsumoto as a wrestler and as an attractive young woman.
Yes.
Do we agree with this? Because I've been criticized for this on Twitter for liking Matsumoto and thinking that she looks very nice and is very awesome. And
why? Why would anyone say something like that?
That's what I want to know. That's what I want to know. Is it me? Am I wrong for this?
No, I think I think she's an attractive woman.
I want to call out those people, PMing me and DMing me and stuff, giving me crap about liking Matsumoto. Because Matsumoto is awesome. And I would love to, if I got a date with Matsumoto, I'd be all for it. You know, I think a lot of the problem is that, she's a real bad, in the ring. She can be intimidating to some lesser men. But, and I think that's a big problem with some people. But for me, I'm a fan. And that's all I'm saying. Obviously, Shida is what, we can get into that. But, Matsumoto, do not criticize Matsumoto for her looks, because she's very, very attractive, very pretty.
She's
a very nice person. She has a new t-shirt out of Pro Wrestling Tees.
So, yeah. She's attractive, and this has been the Drella-Drell part of the episode. I know Drella-Drell has some questions lined up, but we are all out of time right now, so we have to get this in one of our future episodes. I don't know when this future episode will be, but you will be informed, and, keep just reviewing, keep subscribing to our feed, and just keep giving us the feedback we've been receiving for all of our G1 shows.
We need it.
Yes, please help us out here. And Dylan, you have been talking about this. We haven't said anything about or much about New Japan in this episode. We just wanted to cover the other promotions in this episode. As I just don't have much to say about the J Cup.
Less said the better. Let's just say about that show.
Yeah, and we have been talking about New Japan so much in recent weeks that I think an episode not covering New Japan isn't all that bad. And
plus, everyone talks about New Japan.
Right.
Like, these companies don't get as much promotion, and I hope everyone checks them out, especially 01. Like I said, it's the Night Girls, because I think a lot of people would be fans of these companies if they gave them a fair shot.
Yeah. That's a great note to wrap it up. Yeah, I'm your host, Striga. You can follow me at Twitter, STRIGGA. You can find me at purolof.com, cagematch.net, and my co-host, Dylan, can be found at the following places.
Check out the site I work with, ProResSpirit.net or PuroRisuSpirit.net. A lot of people don't know that. They don't know ProRes, PuroRisu. It's spelled the same way.
So yes.
Check that out. Check me out on Twitter at Dylan0PS. I love talking to the fans. As I said, next time, the listeners always give me great takes. Agree or disagree, I love hearing you guys' takes on things.
Definitely, so. Yeah. We've been getting a lot of great takes. Not necessarily agreeing with every take, but some interesting thoughts. Yeah. What?
especially not my taste. Everyone is very nice to you. You know, like, so if I make one mistake, if I make one slip up, you can guarantee there's a group of people that will come after me with vigor.
Oh boy.
But I love them. I love them all the same.
Yeah. All right, man. So this was the Eastern Lariat for this week. Have a nice week. And, yeah, we are out now. Goodbye, I guess.
Sayonara.
Streaming worldwide, this is the MLWRadio.com network.